us, Father, the blessings that we are allowed to experience, Father, through your grace. We do thank you this morning. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to gather with brothers and sisters, Father, in a very special way this morning. Just feels like home here, Father, and we just want to thank you. Thank you for the opportunities that we have, Father. We thank you that we have your word here this morning, Father, and I pray that it could be like that rain that falls from heaven, Father, and brings forth abundantly upon the earth, Father. We pray that your word could again do that this morning in your church, Father, in your people. Thank you for the beautiful things that we've already heard this morning. Thank you for, we just ask, Father, for faith. You'd grant us the grace to respond in faith. Maybe I should say it that way, Father, the grace to respond in faith to the things that we have heard, Father, and just believing that you can change us and that you desire to change us and that you will change us. We look to you this morning, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. Thank you, brothers, for sharing this morning. It was a blessing to me. Good to my heart. I had that experience yesterday morning as well, Brother Barry, and my first thought was we need to leave here shortly. But when I came in from a short visit, I told my family that was just what I needed as an inspiration. So the Lord has his ways of blessing us. But thank you for sharing that. Brother David, thank you for those challenging thoughts that inspiring. I'm inspired by them. Thank you. It was a blessing to see all of you yesterday. I didn't get to speak with all of you. Reminded me there's so many people in a crowd like that, and there's so many people that you would desire to speak with, and some that you haven't seen for a long time. But then there's the special faces in the crowd. That's a blessing. It's the people that I know closely. I had I had a privilege yesterday that not all of you had. I'm sorry about that, but it was a privilege. It was a tremendous privilege. That was the first time that I experienced that, and it was a I had a better view of what was happening than many of you did. Some of you were sitting pretty far to the back, but it was pretty difficult for me to control my emotions when they joined hands. The joy that was there was amazing to me, and I thought about Jesus, and I thought about his bride. And I thought, what will it be like? You know, I can understand that there will be joy and amazement on our faces. I mean, I can't imagine how much joy and amazement there will be. But what I don't understand is that there will be joy in his face. I believe there will be joy in his face. Yesterday, just leave it there, but it was a blessing. When it's a blessing. Anyway, beautiful day it was. Okay, so this morning, we have been receiving some requests, some suggestions, some requests that we would do some teaching on child training. That request has been coming from various places, and from some from here, some from other places, and I'm not sure how this will all go, but in the coming weeks, we'd like to maybe provide a little bit of that, if we can, some thoughts on the home, some thoughts on child training, and both Barry and I, perhaps, we'll see how it all works out. I'm not sure how soon all of that will happen, but we'd like to start on it this morning. Now, some of you are thinking maybe I should just clock out. I'd encourage you not to do that. Hopefully this will be for everyone. Usually, when those requests are being made, and I know this from my own experience. I remember being a young father, and I'd hear people say, "Well, you can read the books, but that doesn't really do it." And I thought, well, why not? I just want someone to tell me how to do it so I can get it done. I just want the do this and the do this and the don't do this and don't do that. That's all I need. Just give me that and we'll get this thing behind us. Now, I'd never said that to anyone, but it was frustrating to me. I thought, but I realize that that's what a lot of people want, right? That's what a lot of people want. That's what they want. They want to get this, so how do you spank? Just tell me how to do it. And some of that's necessary. Some of that is needed. But underneath all of that is a heart that is saying this: I'm a busy man. Tell me how to do it so I can get it done. I've got other things to do. Many times, that's where that's coming from. That's where it was coming from for me. I thought I cared. I did care. I wanted to care. But in all reality, I didn't really enjoy training my children. And I had to come to grips with that. A few weeks ago, I was speaking to a man whose own children are pretty well grown, and he has taken some children into his home. Many of you would know him. He's taken some children into his home, and not his own, but a needy situation. Has taken some children into his home, and he was telling me it's just so much fun. He said, "Why? He's just 2 years old. 2 year olds are fun." He said, "You can just train him." He said, and he got all excited in his face, and he just said, "Well, I mean, you just invest, you just pour into them, and then you just see the results." He said, "It's so exciting." And so this morning we'd like to lay a foundation maybe for some messages on child training. We'd like to get to the bottom of some things. Yesterday, on my way to the wedding, I had a couple of phone calls. Different. They were diverse. They were very different. But by the time I got to the wedding, I was somewhat emotional. Just the brokenness of humanity. Just the pain. The pain, and it's all over. It's everywhere, and people struggle. They can't relate to each other, and they fight, and they war, and they sin, and they struggle. And they're struggling. They're struggling because many times it's because of what happened at home. Many times it's because of how it was at home is why they struggle. And they struggle after they're Christians, some of them. Still struggling. Still struggling to know how to relate to his neighbor, to the people around us, so the message this morning is directed at the men. I don't want to leave everyone else out. But the message this morning is directed at the men. I'd like to make just a couple of quick disclaimers here this morning. There's a danger when doing something like this, that when I preach a message that is more directed toward the men, the sisters can get critical, and sisters can start to think, maybe my husband doesn't measure up to that, and maybe he doesn't reach the standard, and I encourage you to not do that this morning. There's also a danger that young people get critical, and they think, you know, my dad doesn't quite measure up. And I would just like to share with you this morning that there are things you can do. You can pray, you can support, you can bless your dad, your husband, and God can make him what he needs to be. And I'd like for us to encourage us to receive this in that way. Young men, you're here this morning, and you know, if the Lord Lord tarries and takes you on in life, there's a possibility, there's maybe a good possibility that you'll get an opportunity to be married, to have children. And so I'd encourage you to listen up this morning. But I would maybe encourage you as young men today that if you're thinking about marriage, if you considered getting married, that you would count the cost, of the high calling of marriage, and the high calling of fatherhood, and that you would consider that. That you would consider full-time servanthood. We're that anyway, so it shouldn't be a problem. But you would consider that it's a crime to bring children into this world and not be committed to being the father that you ought to be. I didn't do that when I got married. When we got married, I was very selfish. It was mostly about what we loved each other and this was going to be great, and I sensed responsibility, and I knew there was responsibility, but I never really, I wouldn't say that I really counted the cost in the way that you maybe can today. I didn't really feel like I had that opportunity. I'm very thankful today for all that the Lord has done in our lives, but there was some difficult experiences. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be a daddy. Tremendous privilege. I don't discourage that at all. I would just encourage us to enter into it in the fear of God if we're thinking that way. This morning, we'd like to start in Malachi chapter 4, a very well-known passage. But we'd like to begin with a foundation for true child training. Malachi chapter 4, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts, remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. For behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So I'd like to begin here. We heard some beautiful things this morning about what happens when the heart is engaged. When the heart is engaged, what happens? And so I was just blessed me this morning, the opening here. What does this mean? He will turn the hearts of the fathers, the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Well-known verse, and many could quote it, but what does it mean? What does it mean that the heart needs to turn? What does it mean? You know, we sing the song, "Heart with loving heart united, met to know God's holy will." The heart that turns toward one another. What does that look like? What does it mean? That connection, that unity, that desire for one another, that longing to see the other do well, that the heart. Well, it's the foundation. It's the foundation of true child training. And it takes it from just something we have to get done. That's what takes it from reactive to proactive. That's what will take it from reactive to proactive. That's what puts the smile on the face and says, "Oh, it's a joy. It's a joy." I mean, you tell him about three times or four times or however many it takes, and then he gets it. And then it's a joy, and you just see that he got it. You said, "No, we don't do that." You repeat it. Maybe you did a little spanking, maybe you did a little this, and then he got it. You don't do that. That's what takes it. I didn't always have that. I remember, I could share some memories with you. I remember there's a few events that stand out in my mind. And where I was struggling to gain a child's will. And I remember sitting there weeping and thinking, "What is wrong with me? Why does this not work? It has to be my past. It has to be something that prevents this from working." And it wasn't any of that. My heart just needed to turn. But homes are struggling. Homes are struggling. Anabaptist homes are struggling. You know, we teach our children many things, and bless God for that. I mean, we teach them to work. We teach them about cleanliness. We teach them to take care of themselves. We teach them to share with their toys, and we teach them many beautiful things. We do. But when they struggle emotionally, and when they are hurting and they can't, and we send them for counseling. And we've been doing this for several generations. And we don't know how to relate. And we don't know how to minister to the heart. And because our hearts haven't turned to them. And by the grace of God, brothers, we need to break those chains. The grace of God, we need to break those chains. Even the animals care for their young. Mama birds will go, or daddy birds will go find a worm and bring it back to the nest and feed them. They care for them. It's programmed into them. A mama fox will take the babies out and show them how to hunt for themselves. An eagle will push its young one out of the nest and teach it how to fly and watch over it so it doesn't crash on the rocks and I understand fly under it and save it so it doesn't, but teach it how to fly. But aren't we called to do more than the animals? Is it okay for us to bring children into the world and only do as much as the animals do? Care for them while they're young and feed them and provide for them and then teach them how to work for themselves and so they can provide for themselves and get through life? And that's all and that's as far as we get? The calling is higher than that. This principle applies to the mothers in the room here this morning as well. It does. The text here is to the fathers, and I believe that's where it starts. But much of what I share today applies to the mothers also. It applies differently. It applies maybe in a different way. But mothers naturally do have more naturally have their heart turned towards the children. They do, in a more natural sense, they do. But there's a need. There's a need in a child's life. There's a need in a child's life for a father figure, someone, a daddy. It's a need in a child's life, and there's no substitute. But today we live in a world where even mothers are losing their heart for home. Mothers in Anabaptist churches find it necessary to get a job. And it's not because the family needs money. It's because they're looking for something fulfilling to do. And I believe it's because dad's heart is not at home. And mama wants to do something that impresses the husband. Wants to do something that she feels will be a blessing to him. She wants to do something worthwhile. And so this morning, this is the burden. I have confidence of much better things in you, brothers. But I just feel like we need to preach this message before we talk about spanking our children. The hearts must turn. I don't know. The seat of affection, the seat of desire, the inner drive needs to turn to the children. You know, a man can do anything that he sets his heart on. If he sets his heart on something, he can sacrifice, he can save, he can do just about whatever it takes if he sets his heart on it and he wants it. And so we have this passage here. It says here, when Elijah comes, when Elijah the prophet, he said, I will send Elijah the prophet, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And this my understanding of this is that it was prophecy of John the Baptist, that he would come and that he would preach a message of repentance to the people. And that when the people repent, the hearts of the fathers will turn home. The hearts of the fathers will turn to the children. And I've seen that in life. I've seen that it is automatic. Or most of the time so, it is automatic. When there is a repentance towards God and there is a conversion and there is a new life, and Jesus Christ comes into the heart of a father, the burden for family and children is automatic. How could it not be? If there's no burden for the family, no burden to raise their children in the fear of God, no heart turned toward the children, I question that there's been a conversion. How can there be? But I would also say that though it is automatic, though I do believe that it is a result of repentance, it is a result of reestablishing a connection to our Heavenly Father, puts in us a desire to be a father, puts in us a desire to be a father to our own children. And though I believe that is an automatic response to repentance, I wonder if it is always complete as it ought to be. And maybe that's the burden of the message this morning. But the heart of the fathers will turn. That's what he says here. That's what will happen. The heart of the fathers turn toward the children. Turn. The word turn there is simply repent. It's turning. That's what repentance is. It's turning. If there's a need to turn something, that must mean it was somewhere that it shouldn't have been. If there's a need to repent, that means something was going on that should not have been. And there's just a reality. There's just a reality in mankind that men have their heart somewhere. The heart is somewhere. There's something that the heart is set on. There is something that the inner desire that man is going for and going after. And there's many things, and I wasn't planning to spend a lot of time on this, but in our world, it's maybe in the Anabaptists in general, at large, in many places. Now, I say that generally. I know there's many beautiful homes, many fathers and daddies that are taking care of their families and children, and that's not a blanket statement, but materialism. Men's heart is set on materialism. And that one's a little more subtle because we do need to work and we do need to provide physically, and that one can be a little more subtle. And I think we should check our hearts. And I'm not implying here that men don't work; they sit at home. I'm not any of that. But the other one I don't understand is how men have time for their hobbies. And now there's time for getting alone where it's quiet and seeking God and going to the woods and I have all kinds of room, but there's men that have hobbies of old cars and hobbies of this and that and the other thing, and where do you get time for that? Something is amiss. Something is amiss. I think of men who maybe in a deception or whatever, their heart is bent on a culture, and they'll die for it. They'll die to maintain this culture and to do. And in the meantime, there's no deep relationship with the children. And it tells me that the heart is on the culture. That's where the desire is. That's what's important to me. Lord, help us. I believe it's possible for men to set their heart on missions in a wrong way. It looks more exciting than training children. That can happen. I say that carefully. I'm all for missions. I believe we should do all that we can to provide or to go to the ends of the world with the gospel. And when I talk about providing for our families, I'm not talking about providing them with luxury and providing extravagant living for them and extravagant vacations and that many people fold under this providing for our families. Many people fold all those things in too. And as I'm not talking about that this morning, but but we need hearts that long, that desire to connect with our children, the desire to connect with them in a deep way, to minister to the emotional and spiritual needs in our families. And it's going to take some time. It takes time. You know, there's a like to speak just a little bit this morning. The role of a father, the role of a daddy, the role of a father is diverse. I look at it and I think, how can I do all these things? But a father is and I hear some words. You can just think about these and think about what all comes under these words. But a father is called to be a watchman over his home. The things that come in and go out, the things that the influences that come in, the You know, it's daddy's responsibility, and I know mothers are to help with these things, but it's daddy's responsibility to guard, watch over the music that's coming in the home, the books that the neighbor's children are carrying in. It's a full-time job. We do it with joy because we're servants. Daddy is a protector. He's the one who... looks out for, and he says, no, son, that's dangerous. You shouldn't be doing that. They don't know. They haven't been here before. They haven't been through life. Daddy, he's the one that provides oversight. The oversight, the general oversight of the home. It's his responsibility to organize it, to, set it in order, to delegate, to be the leader of a home, to be the leader. You know, daddy is the one who should be the visionary. The visionary of the home, the one who establishes a vision that is looking off ahead and he's bringing the family together and he's saying, look, this is where we're going. We're going this way. Why we do what we do. Daddy's the one who should man up and do the hard things. You know, the difficult things that come along. There's difficult things that come in family life. Helping your children know how to work through it. How to deal with loss. Daddy that will, can cry with them. Can show that he cares, when hard things happen. And children are distraught. Daddy is called to be the teacher in the home. Called to be a teacher. And we're going to talk about some of these things in a little bit here. Daddy is called to be a counselor. He's called to be the one who comes alongside and gives some wisdom and direction when there's questions and turmoil and the children are wondering how do I handle this? My friends are doing this and I don't know how to handle that I'm discouraged how do I work through this? Daddy's the one who, and mothers help with this, but daddy's the one who should make sure that it's happening. Daddy should be the one who provides inspiration for the home. Gets up and seeks God and comes with inspiration. Let's go. Yeah, it looks big. It's huge. It's more than we can handle for sure. But God is with us. Daddy's responsibility. And when daddy goes down and daddy's discouraged and daddy's grumbling about how things are falling apart and life is a mess and we can't handle it all and how's it ever going to work And daddy, when daddy goes down, what happens? Somebody want to tell me? Everybody goes down. Daddy's called to be the provider, the one who provides, make sure that the needs are being met. And we could go on with that list for quite a long time. Thank God today that He gives us a helpmeet. He gives us someone to help us with those things. I'm very thankful for that. My life, that's certainly very necessary. And my wife's been a tremendous blessing in this work. And I know that your wives are as well. But I'd like to talk about something get a little more specific here. You know, in the church, there are gifts. And so, we do this thing where we say, well, brother so-and-so, yeah, he's the watchman. He picks up on those things. And then brother so-and-so, he has that gift of mercy. You can just see how he comes along and he comforts that person that needed some comforting, and it's a real blessing to have him in the body of Christ. And you know, brother so-and-so, he really has a gift of teaching. I'm so thankful he's in the body of Christ and he can be a teacher for us as a church. That's such a blessing. But at home, we don't have that. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work for dad to say, I'm not a watchman. It doesn't work for dad to say, I'm not very observant. I don't pick up on those things. Those things just kind of come into my home and I just don't have the gift of being a watchman. You know, I'm not a teacher. I'm just not much of a teacher. Doesn't work for daddy to do that. Doesn't work. You know, I don't have the gift of mercy. My children are all distraught and there's some great need of comfort and help over here, but I don't have that gift. I don't know how to do it. If our hearts are not turned towards our children, we will default into only doing the things that we're good at. We know how to provide. We'll go make some more money. That will help. We'll do the things that we're good at. But if our heart turns toward our children, when we see a need, we'll throw ourselves into it. And we'll ask God for help. It is a huge difference. You don't have to be a natural teacher to pick up the Bible and read it and say, this is what it's saying to me. You don't have to have the gift of being a teacher to do that. And you don't have to have the gift of being a watchman to care about what comes into your home and what's happening and what things are influencing the children here. You don't have to have a gift to do that. If you see a need, your heart will incline itself to meet that and to do it. And God gives grace. And we get humble and we get broken and we cry out to God and He helps us. God knows what He's doing when He gives us the responsibilities of fatherhood. He wants us to grow. He wants us to get to grow in the areas that we're not good at. He wants to help us. He wants to give us grace. We can say, I'm not a teacher. But these little children need to know God. Pick up a Bible. Read them a Bible story. Tell them about Jesus. I'm not a visionary. But without a vision, they're going to perish. Get alone with God and get one. And we can get on our knees. We can cry out to God. He'll help us. I don't know how to comfort. I'm just not soft. I'm rough. I don't know how to do it. My dad didn't do it for me, and I'm just kind of coarse and. I don't know how to do that. It's just not me, you know. Everything changes when the heart turns. Everything changes. Have you been comforted? And look, the passage that came to my mind here. Let's say that. Who comforteth in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Have we been comforted of God? Then we can comfort others. I don't know how to communicate. I wasn't taught that. I don't know how. I grew up in a silent home. Nobody talked. We don't You know, some of us grew up that way. It's a real thing. Let's be honest with you, I can be that way. I can have a lot of things on my mind, and there can be all this chatter going on in the home, and I can just kind of be zoned out, be in another world. I can do that. Pretty easy. I'd like to share a scripture with us here. It's a very familiar passage. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Daddy is supposed to be talking all day long. I don't know how to communicate. Well, I like to say this. If you're a daddy, you need to be talking. And you don't need to be a big mouth, and you don't need to be loud. But you need to be talking. You don't need to be quoting Bible verses all day long. But you need to be telling your children, you know why this happens? You see that? You know why that happened? Yeah, he was going 100 mile an hour with a motorcycle. That's what happens when you do that. You need to be talking to your children all day long. Whenever you're with them. Life lessons. Observations. Just observations. See that bird? See what he's doing there? See how he takes care of the little ones? Look at that hummingbird. Miracle. Isn't that amazing? They can fly backwards. Observations. All day long. Teach them about cause and effect. Every cause has an effect. If you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that will happen. Nothing just happens on its own accord. Things don't just happen. If something happens, there was probably something that happened back here. Teach them about cause and effect. Powerful principles of life. It's not okay to be a silent daddy. I think we should settle it in our hearts. You know, some are quieter than others, that's for sure. Some won't talk as much as others do. Not everyone's going to be a preacher in a church. And all of those things. I have a burden this morning, and it's not all going to come out balanced. I probably am confident of that, and you can all can help me with that. But it's not okay. And if we grew up that way, then we need to break it. Let's not do it again. Let's not do another generation like that. This purpose in our heart, by the grace of God, I'll be a teacher. I may not be the greatest teacher in the world, but I can teach my children to know God. I can tell them about the Savior. I can tell them about the Creator, and I can point to creation, and I can let them know how things work and what life's all about and why we're here and how to serve, and I can teach them all those things. By example, yes, but with words. I'll tell you a secret. When daddy's heart turns, the children's heart turns. That's what it says here. And it makes all the difference in child training. Now there's practical aspects, and we'll talk about those later. But there's too many daddies who want to just get through child training. We talked about that already. It makes all the difference because it's not about me anymore and how they're making me look and how they're embarrassing me and it's not about me anymore. It's about them. It's about their eternal soul and it's about me caring for them. And it changes everything and their response is different. They respond differently. It's about love. It's about love in the home. Paul said this. This is in a church context. He said this: "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." Paul's saying here, we did this in the church, and he uses that as an example how a father does his children. He said, as if everyone should know that, right? Everyone should know how it worked, how it's supposed to be working. He said, how we exhorted and comforted and charged. And so all of those opportunities we have in a home to exhort, to comfort, to charge. Now give a charge. We're going this way. We're not we're not doing that. There are in our midst, maybe even most of us, many of us, most of us are people whose father's heart has not been changed toward us. Many of us would fall in that category today. And I would like to encourage you with this, and many of you I know have experienced this, but find God and let Him be a father to you. Find God and let Him be a father to you, and find healing for that. And let Him turn your heart to your Father. Let God turn your heart to your Father, even if His hasn't changed. God can do that. God can do that. And many of you have experienced that. Remember this. Your dad probably wasn't taught by his dad. So he didn't know how to do it either. And he didn't have somebody to stand in a pulpit and tell him how to do it. I think that by the grace of God, we should stop the chain. We should break the chain. We should do something different than that. Let's not do it again. There needs to be a restoring of biblical fatherhood. The world's picture of fatherhood today is a lazy, beer-drinking man who loves Monday night football or horse races. They're all the same thing. Let's seek God. Be a daddy. He says here, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The curse. What is the curse? Wild, rebellious children. That's the curse. Children that become their oppressors is what it says in Isaiah, I think. Children will be their oppressors. Wild, rebellious children is the curse of, that's the result of fathers who don't find true fatherhood. Violence and hatred and crime, it leads to violence, hatred and crime. You know, if you go to a prison, you will meet men, and this is very common, mostly. They will cry if you ask them about their mother. But they hate their daddies. They hate their dad. And they can't find God. It's almost impossible. It's not impossible, but it's almost impossible. We'd like to turn just a little bit here in closing. Not closing just yet, but we're going to turn here just a little bit. There's a call for men in our day. Humble men. Broken men. Men that are, like we heard this morning, that have become servants. We'd like to turn to a passage here and get an example here in Exodus. Familiar passage again. Exodus chapter stroke my... Exodus 18 here. Let's read this passage. I was blessed this morning with things that Brother Barry shared there about the young men. I also wanted to thank the youth for singing at the wedding yesterday. I was going to mention that earlier. That was a real blessing for me, for us. Thank you for that. But in Exodus 18, we have this picture, something happening here. And it came to pass on the morrow, Exodus 18, verse 13, it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did in the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, this thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing that thou doest, that this thing is too heavy for thee, and thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou to the people for Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and they shall be, that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Jethro here, it's amazing. I'm amazed at the wisdom of this man. But I'd like to just share here a few thoughts. This is God's heart for the church. The church is not to be a one-man show. It's not to be a few men, as many modern churches are. They hire a good pastor, and everyone comes to listen to him, and then they all go home, and then they come back again next Sunday, and then they all go home, and they repeat this process every week. That's not God's vision for the church. The wisdom of Jethro here, he says, find some able men. Able men. You know, there's a need for us in our homes and in the church at large. There's a need for able men. Men that are able. Men that know how to get a hold of God and find grace to minister to needs. Then the needs are all around us. In a home, they're every day. They're all the time. They're the stranger, as we heard about, the neighbor, in the church. There's a need for able men. Men that know how to get a hold of God and find grace to minister to needs. Capable men. Men that have learned to walk with God. Men that are getting experience. They don't have to be all that gifted to be able men. They don't need to... I think that whole thing, I just... We can be... That's the call for all of us. Our churches need men like this. The homes need men like this. We need men for missions. Able men. I love that term, able men. We know what an able man is in the construction world. Hire so-and-so. He's got a capable crew, and he's an able man, and they'll get it done. You need that done? You need that woods logged? I know some able men. They come right out there and take care of that for you. Able men. We know what it means. But the church needs able men. That's exciting to me. I'm encouraged, probably in ways that I never have been before. I'm just encouraged by that because I see God doing that. Raising up men to become able men. Men that can... That's what Paul told Timothy. We read it at prayer meeting. This thing that I'm teaching you, Commit to faithful men who can teach others also. That's what we have here. Find able men. Men that fear God. Men that fear God. That's the first qualification of a leader. Someone who fears God. And whether we're a father or otherwise. Men that fear God. Men that are not easily moved away from God. Men that don't get pushed around by the opinions of men. By the winds of doctrine. Men that fear God. I'd like to bring this to a close. Men of truth. Men who are honest about who they are. Men that have pure motives. They're not looking for a thrill. They're not looking for a reputation. They're not looking for to be highly esteemed of men. They fear God, and they're men of truth. They're honest. Men that hate covetousness. It's interesting that that's in this list. But men that hate covetousness, you can't bribe them. They won't fall for it. And they won't take glory to themselves. The glory of God is why they serve. Why they do what they do. This message this morning is not a, we have this thing where men say, I can't go to the mission field, I need to stay, I need to take care, I need to provide for my home. That's not the subject this morning. I understand that. But men stay home from missions to provide for their families and maybe never turn their heart to their children. And there are men who go to the mission field and don't turn their heart to their children. In both cases, they're missing the mark, and it won't work. God calls us to various works. And there are some works that require sacrifice and time away from the family and from the home. And he is well able to provide for that and to fill in what is needed. But if it's a joy and a thrill for daddy and for daddy to leave home and go serve somewhere else where there's bigger things going on, and that's more exciting to me than child training and taking care of these things, then I would ask us to search our hearts. Hopefully that's clear. I'm all for missions. I'm all for church work, whatever it takes. But there should be an extra crying out for what's happening at home because I'm not there. There should be a burden. There should be a provision made. Are things okay? Not do they have enough money and groceries, but are things okay spiritually? God bless you this morning. I don't know that that's maybe as balanced as it should be. Lord, be with us.
I'm thankful God is doing in our midst here as a church, and I'm thankful for all your families, your homes, and I just offer these few thoughts as an encouragement this morning. I believe that a lot of this has been done in our midst, and I'm thankful for it, but maybe God has higher ground for us. So God bless you.